Acton and members, what a wonderful day to be here at Cook's celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course also at one and the same time celebrating our mothers. And so we welcome all that are here today with the joyful great news that Jesus Christ has died, he is risen, and he will come again. I've got a few announcements to make before we get started. The first is our new prayer team meeting will not meet this week, nor Cook's Cares. We're going to take a pause on these until June the 2nd. The reason is multiple, but I will be away from the church for 2 weeks starting tomorrow, so we won't have the class. But I've got the topic of the class already, thanks to Kathy King. We're going to do Chinese takeout. So on June 2nd, we'll return with Cook's Cares, as well as the prayer team meeting. Guys, that team is such an important and vital outreach of our church. It's such a great place to learn how to deal and help friends that reach crisis. And the thing is, as we all know, living on a broken world, we are all going to reach crisis at some point, and it will come unexpectedly, unfortunately. It's in those times and occasions that having good brothers and sisters in Christ, people that know how to work with you when you're struggling or suffering, is so vital. And it's as we see more and more people engage in ministries like that, we'll see more and more, because more and more people will be hearing how your relationship with Jesus Christ is manifesting itself in great purpose, and that purpose will be yielding great joy. So please come on June the 2nd, both for the cooking class, but also for the prayer team meeting that will resume. The Bible study will continue, not tonight because it's Mother's Day, but we do want to invite everybody. This is just an awesome class. Being an authentic church is the topic that we're in right now. That meets at 6 o'clock on Sundays, not tonight, but we'll return next week. Again, it's a great curriculum. You got a great teacher, and then we get a nice little bite to eat that the cooking class made for us. So it's just a real fun time. All ladies are invited to attend our Presbyterian Women's Circles meetings this coming Tuesday, May 14th. The morning circle meets at 10:30 and the evening at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, just speak to Petey. We want to wish Julia Sassnett a happy 97th birthday coming up this week on Thursday. Happy birthday, Julie. That's amazing. The beautiful flowers this morning are by James and Kay Harper in honor of the mothers in our family, Vicki, Kelly, Chelsea, and Jenny, each one an amazing mother, daughter, and granddaughter. So we thank you. Those are the announcements. We have a moment for mission, but are there any announcements that need to come before the church at this time? Okay. Petey.
Good morning. Good morning. As part of the missions team, I am here today to tell you about next Sunday will be Pentecost. And we always take up a special offering on Pentecost. And what's really important about this one is that 40% of the offering stays here at our church for our own youth, to develop and support programs and in the church and the community. 25% of that offering goes to young adult volunteers who are serving in communities around the world and growing as leaders through transformative Christian service. 25% of it goes to guiding youth, which is supporting ministries like the Presbyterian Youth Triennium that inspire and guide youth as they grow in their walk with Christ. And 10% provides advocacy and education that protects and nurtures our children and youth who are at risk. So I hope the envelopes will be in the pews. We can start today with the offering and continue next Sunday. So thank you for donating to this offering. Each year we take up, there's four special offerings. We did one at Easter and to Pentecost, then there's two more. So I'll be telling you about those. Thank you. Thank
Let us open our worship. Join me in our call to worship found in this morning's bulletin. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. People of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to us. His love endures forever. Let us enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We give thanks to him and praise his holy name. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this Mother's Day, we gather with hearts full of gratitude for the gift of Jesus Christ and especially for the mothers among us, those who have been and those who continue to shape our lives with love and wisdom. We thank you for their countless sacrifices, for their hands held open in generosity, and for their voices that have whispered prayers in the quiet hours. Lord, bless this gathering today. May each word spoken and each song sung bring honor not only to our mothers, but most especially, Father God, to you, who created the tender, courageous love that is manifested in so many of our moms. We ask that you comfort those for whom this day is difficult and fill us with your Spirit that we might reflect your love more perfectly in our own lives. In your holy and precious and everlasting and strong name we pray. Amen. I invite you to rise now, those of you who are able, and join me in the singing of our first hymn. Who is faithful and who is just will not only forgive us of our sins, but will cleanse us from any and all unrighteousness. And so it's for that reason that it's in humility and in faith we step boldly forward, confessing our sins corporately, expecting to encounter not God's condemnation, but his amazing grace. So join me in our prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin. Heavenly Father, we confess that we have wandered far from your grace. Forgive us for our missteps and for the times we have not shown love to those around us. In humility, we seek your face, acknowledging our need for mercy. renew our spirits, and draw us closer to the heart of compassion. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we're assured of a great and wonderful truth, that God has literally washed away from us all of our sin, past, present, and future, and has guaranteed us through faith in His Son, life everlasting in the kingdom of God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Glory be to the We turn now to affirming our faith through song. We believe in God. Please be seated, and now we'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time that's especially for them with Mr. Clayton.
Good morning. How are we? How are you today? You good? Well, how was your week? Good? Good? I know you're sad. School's almost out. I know you're sad. I know you want to go all the way through summer. You don't? Oh, well, that's surprising to me. I don't know about for you. We got a word today. Today's word is compassion. Who can tell me what that word means? Compassion. Anyone? Anyone? Maybe you need to stay in school for the summer. Come on. Compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is not hitting one another. That is not compassion. You don't know what to do. Okay. What does the word passion mean? If you're passionate about something, what does that mean? Oh, come on, guys. Give me a break here. Come on. What are you passionate about? What excites you? What do you look forward to doing? No school. No school. Okay, thank you. Right on cue. That's why you got the fireball. Okay, what else? What are you passionate about? What gets you excited? Birthday parties, yes. What now? Birthday parties, okay. What else? What gets you excited? How about trips, vacations? How about sporting events? How about concerts? How about food? Food gets me excited. Especially Cool Whip. I have my own Cool Whip. That's my own category. I could eat Cool Whip all day and I'm happy. And Charlie even gave me a Cool Whip shirt, so it's official now. Okay? Any word that has C-O-M, it's a prefix. Com means with. So compassion means with passion. But it doesn't just mean passionate. It means almost over the top. It means you are pursuing it with every part of your being. Compassion means that you care more about other people than you do it yourself at times. You reach out to other people and you put their needs ahead of yours. And guess what? Scripture says that. Philippians says to consider the needs of others more important than ourselves. Now, is that our nature? Do we tend to want to reach out to other people before ourselves? Honestly, what do you think? No. Our nature is to be selfish. Whoops. Our nature is to be selfish and to do what we want to do. So look at Jesus. Jesus was Mr. Compassion. He had three things in mind. He was always focused on God the Father. He was focused on teaching his disciples. And then he was focused on his ministry. And his ministry was sharing the good news about the kingdom of God. Okay, that's compassion. Now, today we celebrate Mother's Day. Was Jesus' mother compassionate? Very much so. She was there at the first miracle. Do you remember his first miracle? John chapter 2. Turning water into wine. She was there. They had been invited to the wedding. What was the last thing that she observed? His death. She was there when he was at the cross. So mom's was there the whole time. Well, guess what? Moms are always there, right? No matter what happens, your mom is always going to be there. And so it's nice in Scripture because Christianity is one of the only religion. Excuse me, I shouldn't say religion. It's a relationship. It's the only faith that promotes women. The first people to come to the tomb were women. They're women in the genealogy of Jesus. They're in the family tree, Ruth. So today we honor moms. Now, how do you honor your mom in your life? Or your grandmom? Or your special lady or female in your life? How do you honor them? It is a good question. Do you have an answer? I will divert this to Lily. How do you honor your mom? What do you do for your mommy? You what?
Give her favors.
Face paint. Oh, that's a nice one. I never did that with my mom. What about you?
Painting.
Do you give your mom hugs and kisses? Do you do things with your moms? Okay, those are all things that you show that you love your mom. Well, today we're going to do a special thing. You're going to take a special flower out to the moms in the congregation. Now, in tradition, their flowers and colors are very important. So the flower for Mother's Day is the carnation. Okay, now there were usually two colors. There was red if your mom had died, and there was white if your mom was living. So if you match red and white together, what do you get? You get pink. So this is what we have today. So you're going to go out, and I'm going to give you guys carnations, and you're going to go out to all the moms all over the church and give them a carnation because this is their special day. All right? Here, help me here. Help me pass those out, will you? All right. So get up and get a pink carnation and take several. And pass those out to the moms in the congregation. Yes, you do.
How do I know if they have a kid or not?
Take a guess.
If you are a mom, raise your hand.
I'll take a couple more just because I'll do the choir.
Okay, you'll do the choir. No, you're not. Here, grab my handful.
No.
Yes, they're.
Okay.
Oh, we got more in the back. Keep going.
I know. That's what.
Yeah. What? Oh, he's coming. Yeah, there you go. Help him out. Good. All right. Wow. I think this is the longest this day, and this is great. You have one left. That's good. All right. Join me in prayer. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your love. And thank you for giving us moms. As we honor your moms today, we honor you because you gave them to us. So help us always to think of you and serve our moms as we serve you. In your name, amen.
This month is retro month, so we have been going back in time. Last week we did Come Now is the Time to Worship, which was one of the biggest worship songs in the 90s, and so we're going to go back even further. This song came out in 1971. It was done by a group called Ocean, so it's appropriate, because I like water, that we're just going to give you waves of words, but I think you might know this song. So if you do, please feel free to sing along with us. Put your hand in the hand of the man who steals the water. To get me through. So put your hand in the hand of the man who steals the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the sea. Take a look at yourself, and you can look at
discover what a kind of person I should be.
Everybody, go!
Put your hand in the hand of the man who sees. Oh, hand in the hand of the man who calls to see. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's Word, expecting to be encountered by God in the power of the Holy Spirit. We read the Word, proclaim it, and believe that God moves and stirs in ways that are unique and wonderful, that soften our hearts, that prepare us for the work that we have in front of us. So we always begin with a prayer of illumination, asking for God's guidance. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would illuminate for us these words, allowing them to be your true word, revealing to us your truth, the truth, in such a way as to be knowledge acknowledged by us and witnessed to. Father God, soften our hearts and allow our ears to hear your true message of love and compassion. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
I will be reading from Psalm 103, 8 through 14. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust.
Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. I read chapter 9, verses 35 through 37. Hear now the word of our Lord. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I would take what I'm about to say with a great deal of incredulity. So if you hear these words and you think, "Nah, that's not possible," I completely understand. So let me say that to begin with. But there is a way that you can prepare chicken that's baked that's better than fried. Yes, see? Not many of you believe me. I could hear the incredulity, right? Like I could hear the doubt. But it is absolutely true, and I know it because in the 1980s, my mother perfected a recipe for baked chicken. I remember it very vividly because it came following an announcement that struck us all with great sadness. You see, my dad's cholesterol level had gotten out of hand, and the fried chicken that we love to eat so much, my mom makes some great fried chicken, y'all. The chicken that we love to eat about once a week was no longer going to be on the menu. And man, were we upset. And I can remember this. For the first couple of weeks, you know, we tried this new baked chicken. Mom was kind of tinkering in the kitchen, experimenting, and, you know, baked chicken, right? Right? But then she hit it. Then she hit the magic. And I know it. I should do it more frequently. It's a marinade. I mean, it's time-consuming stuff to make that transform into such a delicious ingredient. But again, it showed to me, as I look back on it, it showed with great clarity that my mother had a level of care and provision that was in her that she looked to give to us. And again, I know that sometimes Mother's Day sermons don't always hit everyone the same way. But I was really blessed with a very good mother. And from that mother, I was blessed to learn a whole lot about the nature of God. Because what I believe is true for myself is true for a great many of us, that it was our mothers that first and most powerfully exemplified God's love for us in a way that connected. Right? It's wonderful to think at times about how God loves us. But sometimes, as we just think on that, that topic can become very abstract and dry. We need an anchor. We need something to anchor the idea and the feeling to. And oftentimes that takes expanding our field of experience into things that we have known. And for many of us, that person, that arm of provision, was very clearly our mother. And why do I say that it links to a God? Well, because if we turn our Bibles to the very first pages, we're talking Genesis 1, what we find is a systematized, ordered account of creation. The Genesis 1 unfolds for us God's workings as it came to creating the universe. And what we find in that is great deliberation, great systemization, and great emphasis on delivering provision. Because it's there at the back end of Genesis that we discover the reason and the rationale behind God's creation. You see, the reason, the rationale behind God's creation was to create a spot for a people to be loved in and through and by a magnificent God. That's right. If we read creation, if we read Genesis correctly, what we're going to find is that the whole shooting gallery, the whole ball of marbles, the whole hit and caboodle was created in order for us to be provided for. That meant prior to the foundations of the earth, God had in his mind not only us as a people, but this is where it gets really cool. He knew us as individuals before it even started. We get that because we recognize in the books language like before the foundations of the earth in Ephesians or in Hebrews 11, like I led last week, that God created everything out of that which was unseen. God's purpose was clear and direct, and he delivered a masterpiece, and we're in it. And don't lose sight of the absurdity of your own existence. What do I mean by the absurdity of my own existence? That is to say that when you really do the math behind your creation, it just doesn't add up. It's inexplicable cosmically, numerically, that we're here, and yet we are. Your existence is shown by the fact that you're listening to this hopefully not too terribly dull sermon, right? And that you are loved and held by an almighty God. Don't miss that. The foundations of the universe were for provision for a people, but they were also designed to be provision for you individually who were known and loved by God before you were born. That's the kind of God that we have. And that's the kind of love that we oftentimes see reflected in our mothers providing for us. That story of the baked chicken was designed. My mom wanted to keep frying chicken, I'm sure. But she took on this baked recipe because we needed something else. Well, humanity needed something. And we got it in the form of provision on this earth. But man, did we get much better than that. We weren't just let loose in some cosmic terrarium. We've been loved and nurtured and attended to all the days of our lives, from the very moment of our birth into this very second, into the very breath that you're taking right now. God has surrounded your life in love and watch care, and you know it because you're here, right? The proof of God's love is sitting in the pew right on you, that God's love for you has manifested itself in a way that allowed you to come here. You were loved and you were nurtured. And chances are that love and nurture took place through individuals. Here I can't help but think of my good friend Ron. Now look, Ron had an IQ, has, I shouldn't make it sound like he's gone, he's not. Ron has an IQ measured somewhere in the 150s, which makes him Einsteinian in terms of wattage, right? And one of the things is, people like that, they sometimes have some quirks socially. They get to be so smart, they don't quite integrate well. And Ron was definitely one of these guys. And if you were to take a chance, to have taken a guess in high school, you'd have thought, here's a guy that's never going to get married. Just not going to happen. I tell you the truth, to this day, Ron is married and has a daughter. And it happened because of his mom, right? His mom met another strange Penny, which is what I would call Ron, in her work life. And Ron's mom knew that these two strange Pennies needed to pair. She worked for 10 years. 10 years, that woman. Ron's the only person that I know that has kids younger than mine. Because it took Ron's mom 10 years, but she worked. And she got those two together at every meeting and reunion and birthday party available. She put those two in the same room and put them even at the same table whenever she could. Because she knew odd Pennies pair, and they did. God has that kind of eye on us as well. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus himself tells you, why are you worried about yourself? Do not even the birds of the field have great places to nest? Are they not also provided for with food? Are their clothes not cared for? So too, God says, are yours. And God has worked the entirety of your life surrounding you with people who loved you and cared for you, just like your mother. And where does a lot of that care come from? Well, it comes right here through the church. One of the ways that God provides for us is right here, through this strange amalgam of men and women, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this family that isn't biological, but that is every bit family. You know, one of the blessings about being a church pastor, and especially a smaller church pastor, I think, is that you get to see the web of support and care that the members have. And when you come into Cook's Church, you come into a web of support and care, the likes of which I haven't encountered in many churches. There is a love here for you that pre-exists, that continues to work and to show itself in your life because the Spirit of Jesus Christ is here, moving among us. God is providing for you through the people that surround you. Do you have a brother and sister in Christ here? Sure you do. Think now on some of the times that the compassion of your church members has touched you in ways that are both deep and profound. And everybody here likely has one, because Cook's doesn't let you go without showing you a great deal of love. God provides for us. He nurtures us just as he cares for us. But we know that that is not the entirety of what we need. Yes, we leave provision. Yes, we need love and nurture. But so too do we need direction. And God gives that to us in the form of his word. God gives us these pages in his holy Bible as the means by which he communicates with us with the love and care of a father. If you'll but read the Proverbs, you're going to see that God conceives of you like a child and desires for you one thing in this universe: success in loving and being faithful to him. Because loving and being faithful to him, which is brought to you entirely by the Holy Spirit, is the way in which you align with your original creation. God created you for a purpose. You're an instrument, a tool, if you will, but a divinely inspired, divinely loved one. You are designed to share and emit the gospel, the good news that is Jesus Christ. That is your frequency and what you broadcast to the world. That's your point and your purpose. And as God moves you into greater alignment with that, you find more and more joy. So how do you get there? Well, you read the biblical wisdom. And there is wisdom in the Bible. There's the book of Proverbs, the book of Job, the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Psalms, and in the New Testament, the book of James. These provide us real, concrete, substantial, evidenced pieces of wisdom on how to succeed in life, in glorifying God, and finding peace and contentment. God gives us direction like a mother. I can think of many times, from the spit on the hair to the your flies unzipped to the you need to wear better pants, I think was the last thing I heard. Parents care for us, they care about us, but they also know we need something even deeper than just provision, deeper than just love and nurture, deeper than just direction. There's something we all need, and we all need it on a daily basis, and that's forgiveness, right? You know, my paradigmatic story on forgiveness, I often leave some things out, so I'm going to tell it again and fill in some important details. You know, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I had a little blue plastic gun that I loved, right? That little thing shot these really cool discs that were about the size of a quarter. They had them in all different colors, red and blue and green. Shot these little discs. It's the coolest thing, man. Well, one day I'm up in my room playing with that cool little gun with the plastic multicolored discs, and my mom comes in the room. And she reminds me that my room's supposed to be clean, and it presently isn't, and I need to turn some attention to that. Well, let's just say I wasn't having the greatest day, and mom turned around. Somebody's holding their hand over their mouth because they know what I'm going to do, right? My mom turned around, and I decided now was the time to use that little blue plastic gun that shot the multicolored discs, aiming at my mom, yeah, at the back. I shot her in the back, right? I pelted her, right? I absolutely did. It was a green disc, and I remember it, guys, because when it was flying, I knew my goose was cooked. I'm like, you can't take that back, and there it is. You're in it. Look, mom came and immediately seized the offending item and told me that I was in big trouble. Man, did I sit in that room and stew? I can still remember. I knew it was going to be bad. But eventually I decided to come downstairs. You know what? And mom, she should have spanked me. I would have been in realm and I got spanked, but this was not the occasion. Because my mom knew two things that I haven't shared before. My best friend in my neighborhood had moved away the month before. That was my closest friend, and he was gone to me, you know, like a child when they move away. It's very painful. But the second thing is, a cat that we loved was causing me too many asthma problems, and we had to give it away, right? So I was not in the best state of mind, and mom, instead of punishing me harshly, which I deserved, everybody can agree with that, right? Shooting your mom in the back is not where you want to be. My mom let the offense go. She told me that I knew better, and that she loved me. And I'll tell you what, I needed that forgiveness that day. And I've needed every bit of forgiveness in the 40 plus years that it's been since then. Right? That was the only story I think mom would probably be here celebrating. But it wasn't. But you see, our moms are able to know the whole story. They're able to know what's going on. And then in that space, they're able to do the most powerful thing of all, which is to forgive. And to let the transgression go forever. Yeah, I can't help but notice, that in Jeremiah, we get that passage of Scripture that tells us that God chooses in His infinite memory to remember none of the transgressions of our past. And I think, my God, that's why we get baptized. To have that assurance. To know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that what God created that we messed up, with our sin and our transgression and our inability to do the right, has ultimately been made right, washed clean of the transgression, and we are sparkling new, ready for the kingdom of God. Why? Because Jesus loved us that much. Romans tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Friends, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He forgave us of our sin. And He has guaranteed us admission into the kingdom of God for one thing, faith in Him, which He provides Himself by His Holy Spirit. You're in a game that you can't lose. Imagine that. Who would come up with such a game? Who would come up with such a system? a God that loved us more passionately with a mother than a mother. And that's when you come back in and you read Genesis 3 and you realize that he had the plan already figured out. As we hear in that proto-evangelion in the Genesis 3, that the heel of a man will strike the head of a serpent. God is telling us that the day would come that Jesus Christ would conquer and defeat the evil of sin. And we know he's done that through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we may have been blessed with wonderful mothers. Some of us weren't, and we need to remember that today. But what I can tell you, what I declare to you from the Bible to be absolutely true, is that we have a God that loves us more than a billion trillion mothers. And that love manifested itself in the man, Jesus Christ, who hung on a cross to save us for our sins. He's the reason that we're here this Sunday morning. He's the reason that when we hit that door, that we're going to go out and find somebody to tell about how good our mom is, and then we're going to tell them about how good Jesus is. Because that's exactly what Christians do on Mother's Day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer, remembering so many, and celebrating some joys. I understand that the Pace family has seen the arrival of Samuel Lyle, and so we celebrate that great good news with the family. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for this day and feel so blessed from our time together. Thank you, Father God, for our mothers. Thank you for the examples of faithfulness and witness to you that preceded you even in our knowledge. For before we could read, before we could even understand the great good news of Jesus Christ, there was someone there feeding us, nurturing us, loving us, directing us, and yes, Father God, even forgiving us. And so we give you thanks for those individuals, knowing and trusting that you shared them with us. Father God, so too do we thank you most especially for your Son, Jesus Christ, who we know died for us and for our salvation. Father God, allow us to hear his words, to emulate his ways, and to pray to you as he did, seeking not only your grace, but Father God, also your guidance. Father God, we pray, listening to your guidance for the people of this world, asking that you shed and spread your peace all over the world. Where there is darkness and hostility, we just ask that you bring your light and your love in. Father God, we think of this city still broken by the tragedy of the lost policeman of a week ago, and we pray that you would continue to keep us free of violence and struggling always to care for those less fortunate than ourselves. Father God, we pray for Jill Griffin, who is struggling right now. We pray especially for the family of Tom McClure as they mourn his passing. We pray for Jack Parker. We pray for Dale and David Lucky. We pray for Johnny Quinn. We pray for Charlie McCrary. We pray for Nancy Smith. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, including the families of the slain officers here recently in Charlotte. We pray for all of the names on our intercessory prayer list, and we pray for all of those concerns that are in our heart now silently. We also pray for those things that we know we don't know that you do, Father God. Heal and restore all of your creation. Father God, we just ask that you would be with us, allowing us to remember our mothers and to celebrate them with great joy and vigor, Father God. And now we pray and ask that you allow us to witness and worship Jesus Christ. Father God, allow us to go out into the communities to share his good news of hope, peace, love, and joy. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in the following fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to take just a few moments for reflection on the sermon or for a continued prayer, and also for the giving of gifts if you'd like to use our electronic QR codes in the pews today. Several ways that we can conclude, and I'd like you to turn your attention to those before I benedict us and head us out. The first is if you have a prayer need, and this can be anything. If you would like a specialized prayer for an illness or a concern, if you'd like to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, if you need prayer for any reason, the prayer room is open. It's in the library behind the sanctuary. Please avail yourself of that. If not, spend this time to celebrate what is Cook's Church and how great it is to be a brother and sister in Christ. We're going to have some lemonade out on the lawn for you. Come and spend some time getting to know what's going on with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. In Christ's name, amen. Back for mothers on the way out, so make sure you get one.